This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Wednesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
Oh, and it's flipping hot, man, today. It was like I was doing laundry. And in the summertime, I hang my laundry out because I love the smell of like mountain air and the clothes. And it's really nice. But it was like, 8:39? And it was swelteringly hot.
Well, it's hot, and there's a haze just about everywhere because of all the fires. And, of course, watching the news morning, they're combining, you know, not only the smoke from the wildfires, but just the emissions and all the other pollutants in the air combining to create this kind of a hazy atmosphere. And I'm kind of going, no, it's mostly the smoke. Let's not, you know, sugarcoat it.
It's the smoke. I had to be in Seattle, like I said, over the weekend. And when we were driving over, there were certain portions of Washington and everything that where you could not see into the city proper. Mm-hmm. When you were driving, it was that bad. And the eyes were burning and it was not good. I just, we got a story that maybe we'll talk about a little bit later. But of course, we all followed what happened in Los Angeles back in 2025. Portland is at risk for that. So there's a story we may cover a little bit later in the show asking the question, is it at risk of an urban wildfire? And I would venture to say, yeah.
Well, I would venture to say not only Portland, when you are looking at Oregon as a whole, and how mismanaged our forests are and how poor of a job we do kind of really taking care of things. You know, I could sit here and go, Bend, is it a huge risk of a forest fire? Prineville, you know, Central Oregon, maybe a little less here down in the valley, but still it could easily happen. And I remember during the wildfires, you know, up the mountainside in 2020, The fear of, especially when you're over on the east side of Bend, if we could wake up one day and have flames visible coming over the ridge. So,
well, I think we all remember waking up that I think it was like Labor Day, waking up that morning and it was pitch black. Mm-hmm. And I still have video that I saved of driving around Salem and seeing the dark, and it was just in the weird otherworldly orange sky. Actually, you know what? I've got this up right now. Let's just go ahead and dig in a little into it. It's an Oregonian. Is Portland at risk for urban wildfire? And a local expert who analyzed Los Angeles fires thinks so. I mean, he's not saying it's like it's going to happen, but are the risk factors there? Yes. And then how often do we see fires that are started by homeless encampments? Mm-hmm. And all it takes is one of those in the right weather conditions, and they don't get there fast enough to put it out, and it's a spark and it carries over with dry brush, say, on the freeway. I mean, how many times have you driven down the I-5 in Salem and seen the median on fire? I've seen it a couple times.
Well, and it's something that, especially during these hot summer days, we're seeing regularly simply because a lot of these camps, they have propane tanks. They have other ways of cooking and doing other things, especially these larger camps. And a fire breaks out, a warming fire at night, whatever it is, it gets a little out of control. And all of a sudden, it's burning up these RVs with propane tanks, because we've seen that, especially along the I-5 corridor as you're heading north.
I've seen it. And so this is Robert McCullough. He's a Portland economist and consultant for the energy sector. He's saying it poses a risk for an unlikely but potentially grave event of similar magnitude to the Palisades and Eaton fires in Los Angeles. Those were on January 7th. If you recall, it only took a few hours for small ignitions to explode over hundreds and then thousands of acres. And of course, it finally ended up burning 59 square miles. It killed 31 and it destroyed more than 15,000 homes. Obviously, Spencer Pratt ran his mayoral campaign on that. I don't think they've rebuilt much of anything there, but that potential does exist. And so it exists in Oregon, it exists in Portland, and I would say it potentially could exist in Salem.
Well, you know, we were talking about the wildfires of 2020, and you know, go talk to people that lived in Detroit or Gates or in that area, and they will tell you they went to bed at night thinking that they were 100% safe, and then were woken up in the middle of the night because the wind shifted and the fire exploded within a matter of hours.
I was working for the League of Oregon Cities at the time, and there I had a coworker, this lovely woman who had built her own house up there in the canyon, and she lost everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, she lost the entire, she basically just at this point, I think she was originally from North Carolina, she got the insurance money and she just left, never to rebuild. Mm-hmm. And she was one of hundreds probably of stories. And another friend who lost everything, their house just gone.
Well, we end up driving up through there this weekend, and I've done it numerous times. I have family in Central Oregon, so we go over the mountain a couple of times. Mm-hmm. But it kind of really just set in about how much the landscape through that area has changed simply because of places that burned down and are not rebuilt. The amount of forest that is now totally gone, all the open air rather than having kind of a tree canopy as you do that drive. And it's frightening and scary to see what actually occurred and how much something like that changed it. And I believe the same things happened down at the Palisades. And, you know, especially like you said, with the homeless scenario, drugs, and then just simple malfeasance, the likelihood of something major popping off is truly there throughout Oregon's communities.
It is. And the same leadership that's been at the helm in Oregon for 40 years is still there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different, I sent you something today and I'm like, because a lot of people have been like, Christine Drazen, obviously, who's the Republican nominee for governor. A lot of people are like, get in the fight there. Get a little more aggressive. I think a lot of us were like looking at like how Steve Hilton's running his campaign down in California, how Spencer Pratt ran the mayoral race that was stolen from him. Yeah, it was. Yeah. So whatever. Prove me wrong. I saw this post and I'm seeing some graphics in there that are like, okay, she's getting in with the darker font, the little scare font, the pictures. Is she slowly starting to peel the gloves off? I'm hoping. A lot of people are out there going, keep tugging on, get those gloves off. You've got to run an aggressive race. You can't be doing the standard, kissing the babies, going to the county fairs, you know, judging barbecue contests. You've got to really get there's so many issues to run on that Kotek is completely vulnerable and absolutely completely falling on her face on. And this state is paying for it in spades.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's the most simple and recent, of course, the taxes that she tried to jam down everyone's throat that got recalled. You know, I haven't heard anything about really hanging that around her neck, which I think needs to be a huge talking point. Don't forget that it took us a historic effort to even get that on the ballot, and then the Democrats went ahead and moved it up so that they could get it out of the way as quickly as they possible. Don't let them hide these things. And that's just the tip of the iceberg in the amount of things that Tina Kotek has her fingerprints all over in the destruction of Oregon. And I just sit here and go, this is it's like a boxing match. It's so early on. They just announced the opponents and it's like Tina's taking jabs at Trump instead of Christine Drazen, and Christine Drazen's kind of letting it go, make some appearances, get my name out. It's time. Let's just get out there. Let's start sparring this thing, because I don't think Tina Kotek has any response to Christine Drazen other than, you know, Donald Trump.
That's all I've seen out of the Kotek campaign is a TDS. I mean, late stage TDS. There's a lot of people commenting on this as well. I mean, we all saw how really an effective campaign can really mobilize and get people excited. And I think that's what it's going to take in Oregon. And I want to see the ORP step up. And I don't know what state of affairs the ORP is in right now, but this is the time for everybody to coalesce. I don't want to see a replay of 2022 when it felt like it was within reach until it wasn't. And of course, Betsy Johnson was in the race at that time. But there are, like you said, there are so many issues that are really on a silver platter here. But it's going to take some creative campaigning, some creative marketing, some outside the box thinking. Like, again, what we saw in the Pratt campaign, the use of AI, the use of digital media, the use of surrogates, and enough of really trying to be sort of demure and nice, which I don't think she's doing, but I do have an issue with the voice. That's always been a hard thing for me to get past. But a lot of it is coming down to a lot of these things are run on social media. Nobody picks up the phone to answer polls anymore because everyone's cell phones. Nobody watches network TV anymore, so you can't guarantee that your ad's going to be seen. AM radio is still the major force. Yes, we are. Mm-hmm. The rest of it is digital. It's all online platforms, people playing games. It's ad roles when you're watching YouTube videos. It's all of that. So I want to see a lot more of that and a lot more aggressive.
Well, I just sit here and go, Christine Drazen's biggest hiccup is going to be the blue blobs along I-5.
Yeah.
And I sit here and go, and if she utilizes AI to kind of create any videos about that scenario, it's going to be pointed out. They're going to use that as a Democrat talking point that she can't find anything real. So she's creating with AI. And I go, A few months ago, when Donald Trump was saying we need to send the National Guard because of the chaos that's occurring in Portland, in particular, into Oregon, I kind of sit here and go, why not? You had a whole bunch of Democrat representatives wander the nice, classy parts of Portland and get all the video of there's nothing going on here. Send your crews out. Get video. There's video out there. There's a number of people that have videos from outside the ICE Center and throughout the streets of Portland. Start utilizing some of the existing true video and say, look, these people go out during the day when things seem nice and calm. This is what really occurs in the streets of Portland. It's all right there, and it wouldn't be expensive.
No, it wouldn't. And partner up with some of the people that are out there on the streets already doing the work and have been doing it for years. So there's so much opportunity here really to rally Republicans and frankly, disaffected D's and independents, because you got to win them too. And I don't know a lot of people. I don't know whether the R after a name or the D after a name is it has as much cachet. I see a lot of red pilling going on. So we'll see. But a lot of people are kind of having the same thoughts that we are. It's time to step it up. Time to, you know, get out there and
get
your dukes up.
At the very least, at this point of the race, it would be very easy for her social media people to be sharing other people's videos of what's truly happening in the state of Oregon through Democrat 40 years of policy.
All right, let's go ahead and take a break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Miller's Barbecue and Catering.
Ooh, that's new.
Well, you know, Miller's is back on. There are some certificates available on halfpriceoregon.com.
So, Miller's is good barbecue. Mm-hmm.
And good portions. Good portions. Yeah. That was the other thing that really stuck out to me.
Go hungry. Last segment we were talking about the Drazen campaign and kind of calling everything out. And I think you and I have known this. It's pretty obvious, but not necessarily to everybody. All of this is being done by design. None of this is accidental. None of these people are stupid. It's not like, oh, we're just bumbling through and we care so much and we're trying to do things and it doesn't work out. It's all by design. Whatever the left, progressive, communist, Marxists tell you is the people they're trying to help are the very people who will be the most hurt by whatever policy du jour they are shoving down our throats.
I always go back. In my younger days, I always had that kind of belief that every politician, everything was about their best effort. If something went sideways, it was just an unforeseen circumstance.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I believe it was Obamacare that opened my eyes when you could pretty much point out everything that was going to go wrong with that system, and they did it anyway.
Yeah. Same thing in Oregon. You know, there were a whole bunch of people that were, you know, millennials who kind of looked at that and went, wait a minute, what? This isn't going to work. This is going to derail. This is not good.
Aren't these the smartest people in the room? They should be able to predict these things.
They're experts. And they have a lot of letters after their name. We must listen to them.
And some have a few before their name and everywhere else. And little alphabet soup for some of these experts.
The LGBTQIA, whatever. Okay, well, this I had tipped to Russ Walker on this one because... Oregon, this has been targeted. Oregon, Washington, and California, the West Coast states have been under this for a long time. But he's talking about this is how Deep Blue State designed a system that allows illegals to vote. Because once you allow illegals to vote, you've got a beholden group that are going to vote. Whatever you give them, they're going to vote for you to keep on giving it to them. Mm-hmm. So let's just go ahead and go down this list because he writes the Oregon way. Oregon system didn't fail by accident. It failed because nobody built in a way to catch it. And when someone finally asked to check the math, the state said no. And again, it's all about euphemisms and word manipulation. And we're gonna turn everything on its head upside down. And if you notice any of these things, you're a bigot or a phobe or an ist or whatever. And it did for a long time. It worked to shame people into silence. I don't think it's working as well anymore. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, call me whatever you want. I don't care.
But I still see all of these politicians, when confronted with these scenarios, still utilize the plausible deniability. It's already illegal to vote if you're not an American citizen. Yeah, but people are going to do it. It's any argument you can ever make. It's illegal to do that already, but yet we have no system to catch the illegalities of it.
Right. So starting with number one, obviously, and we've known this. I mean, we were in the battle for driver's cards against illegals back in what was it, 08? Mm-hmm. And it passed, except for Multnomah County. Every county in the state said, no, we don't want to do that. And the legislature said, yeah, whatever. So number one, obviously, Oregon hands out driver's license with zero proof of citizenship. And DMV staff are barred from even asking. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Working as at the DMV and knowing that this is happening.
Ironically, I get asked every time I go in.
Do you?
Yeah, isn't that weird? You know, I get asked for my ID when I go into the DMV. I wonder why. Do they not see me as a group of people that might not have ID according to the Democrat mindset?
I guess not.
All right. Number two, Oregon says a separate citizenship check protects the voter rolls, but there's no independent audit built into check, just the DMV's own paperwork that we must take their word for it.
Yeah. And like you said, when the numbers are requested and then when they're demanded, the answer is no. Number three is when the state finally sampled its own records, one in 35, quote, verified files had no citizenship proof at all. So scale that up, 22,000 questionable registrations. And depending on where that is that enough to tip a race? Yeah.
Well, especially our local ones, which are decided by usually a handful of votes.
Yeah, especially in the off-season ones.
Mm-hmm. Okay, number four, hundreds of actual non-citizens were already confirmed on the rolls. Some are handing a clerk a foreign passport.
Yeah.
So I just sit here and I go, yeah, we knew. Remember when they did that sort of sample audit and found initially it was like only like 30 or something, and then it became 100, then it became 300. Then once it got over 1,000, they kind of stopped doing this internal audit.
Yeah. Oops, we got to stop counting. Time to shut it all down. Remember that? Haha, 2020. This one, Oregon already sells your name, address, birth year, party, and voting history to anybody who pays $500. Oregon isn't a privacy first state. Have you ever Googled yourself and just seen what's out there on you? There are companies that none of them are sponsors of us, so I'm not going to particularly. I do use one, and I'm shocked at how much, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours to pull my name off of all of those. And I've checked it, and it's mostly gone. But when you don't have that done, it's your address, people that are related to you, your age, where you, I mean, good grief.
Yeah, and we kick and scream every time there's some little data breach anywhere.
Yeah, your stuff's all out. Google yourself. Seriously. Yeah.
All right. But when the federal government asks to check the fields tied directly to identity fraud, birth date, license number, Oregon Secretary of State has said no. And a single district judge agreed.
There we go with the judges again, the activist judges. Number seven, meanwhile, Oregon allows unrestricted ballot harvesting. Anyone can collect and turn in someone else's ballot. No limit, no relationship required, no ballot security required. What could possibly go wrong there?
See, and that's where my challenge lies. They are mailing out a massive amount of ballots. And remember, they announced what was the number? There was 1,500, 4,000, whatever the number was, of old voters still on the roll that shouldn't be there any longer. So they're all still getting a ballot, whether they admit it or not. And where do these ballots end up?
Yeah.
Into a possible network of a nonprofit like CASA, PCUN, United Oregon, APANO, APANO, Latino Network. They run organizations to get out the vote and ballot harvest drive specifically in Oregon's immigrant communities.
And we all know that, and we all see the activists. And then again, as far as influencing local governments and school boards, it's very well run, it's very well organized, and it's very well funded.
Well, and what's missing from this list is the activist group that go out and get it from the homeless communities and the drug addiction communities, which are very easily influenced. And you think that becoming a tourist destination for every person who wants free drugs and to live on the streets and be taken care of, you think there wasn't a reason to bring in all these out-of-staters to come into Oregon? Votes sound logical, don't they?
And apparently, I'm looking at the thread, because this is a really great thread, which I will link to, because it's a public thread out there, I believe. Anyway, let me check on that. Yes, it is. It's a public thread. That the ORP gets the list for free once a year. And so someone's asking, why don't they supply that to the feds? And then also saying that the DOJ is also asking for social security numbers and driver's license numbers. That's what all these blue states, including Utah, are objecting to. And then, and that again is, again, what this same kind of stuff is being targeted at red states. as well. And there are receipts in this thread, which again, I will post. All really good questions to ask. And again, none of this is by design. It's not by accident. It's not because they're befuddled. It's not because they're stupid. They're not buffoons. They know exactly what they're doing. And it's very well planned, and it's been happening incrementally for a very long time.
Well, it's a very simple system. You set up something like mail-in voting, or yep, a driver's license to, you know, registering to vote. It just simplifies the process. It makes sure everyone's involved. It all sounds so amazing, but they make sure they don't put any safety nets in there to catch the malfeasance and the things that aren't supposed to be happening. And then they can claim they had no clue that someone could manipulate their system this way. And I just sit here and go, if you haven't noticed the criminal element and the motivated people are able to kind of side skirt just about anything you can come up with.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. And then again, trying to reason with people and trying to have a debate or dialogue, because you will get shut down because you notice you will be called all kinds of names. You got to get past that. Who cares what some commie is calling you? Okay. No, this is what's happening. And so we've got to be able to call it out. And a lot more people are finally and just saying no, because again, and even in Washington State, Brandi Cruz up in Washington is another undivided, is a great YouTube channel if you don't follow her, is asking the same questions because it's happening in Washington. Oh, a millionaire's tax? Oh, well, they don't really mean that. Millionaires. Yeah, they do. And then they're going to mean you, Mr. $75,000 a year, when the millionaires move out. All of this is intentional. It's not designed to help anyone except them keep power and control and money.
Mm-hmm. We're seeing it in California. We're seeing it in Oregon. And now Washington's going to do the same thing. Push the millionaires away and then tax the little guys.
That is it. That is it. All right. We're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All right, to kind of continue on a thread that just sort of, you know, just sort of organically popped up on the show today, but that's the way my prep was going. And I kind of kept looking at this. A lot of people calling out what's happening in Oregon, and people kind of, you know, some people who haven't paid much attention, how did we get here? You know, and those of us who are sort of in the news cycle and in it and in political activism for a very long time know exactly how we got here. And this is in response to a Governor Tina Kotek tweet, because hers is, Kotek says Oregon will rely on facts and rule of law. Oregon's elections belong to Oregonians, not politicians in Washington, D.C. I will continue to defend Oregon's authority to ensure every eligible voter can cast a ballot in a secure, fair, transparent election. So if you're listening to the podcast, go back to the last segment as we kind of laid out how that's kind of a pile of poo.
Well, I just sit here and go, but it goes into everything else coming out of Tina's name now. Everything has to be directed at the federal level. She has no arguments to defend what's happened in Oregon under her tenure, both as governor and as the speaker. And because of no justification, no ability to defend what's happening here in Oregon, she has to take it to the federal level and make it about protecting us from the federal government.
Right. And again, who's us? And a lot of people push back when, you know, well, Oregon isn't going to participate in America 250 is the state fair. It's like, you don't speak for less and less people. So this is a great thread in response to that, at Molly McDagger out there saying, you know, have you ever wondered how we got here? And again, it didn't happen by accident. Watch the playbook unfold under Governor Kotek, the final boss of the one party progressive machine that has run this state for decades.
Yeah, step one is the native becomes the intruder, the majority the villain, and the truth becomes hate speech.
Yep.
So we're starting to notice those things, the drug markets, the tent cities, the violent crime. And if you notice and say anything, then you're smeared as heartless. You don't care. You know, if you're asking about, you know, the amount of people being shoveled into this city or city, community, state to take over, while the vast majority of longtime Oregonians are packing up and leaving. Mm-hmm. If you mention that and you notice it, you're the bad guy in this scenario.
Yep. Yep. So all the names that everybody gets called are out there. Then, of course, you've got the psychological engineering and you've got guilt programming. You're constantly lectured. And this is school kids, too, about colonialism, slavery, privilege, oppression. And Oregon, of course, became the first state to mandate ethnic studies in K-12 that focused on, quote, histories, contributions, perspectives of ethnic and social minorities. How many school board meetings open up with those damn land acknowledgments?
I mean, come on.
And so you got the Department of Education foisting this down on people. You're weaponizing labels, racist, transphobe, xenophobe. And the second anybody pushed back, the goal is to get you to shut up. Well, and it's either submit or be destroyed. And a lot of people are saying, no, I'm not doing that anymore. No.
Well, it's the way our schools have done everything they can to exclude the parent from the learning process, because it's much easier to manipulate a young brain if you don't have someone talking to them from the other side.
Exactly.
All right. Number three is the two-tiered system of compassion. Certain groups get to celebrate Pride Months, preferred housing scores. They get all sorts of good stuff, while others, they just kind of have to sit there and, you know, actually fend for themselves. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's ridiculous. And the two-tier justice system is really bad. Obviously, we've all seen institutional capture. And, I think even when I was in school, it was maybe starting where you're no longer taught pride in American history, American exceptionalism, Oregon, rugged individualism, pioneer spirit. It's all about teaching shame. So they look at everything that America has done wrong. Has America done wrong? Absolutely. But we've taken major steps to correct those rights. It's always been more about feelings. And then again, this gets into suicidal empathy, which Gad Saad wrote that great book. So they're selling it as compassion, and they sold 110 as compassion until the pushback was so strong they had to backtrack on it, because legalizing drugs is really a bad idea for everybody.
Well, you know, you say institutional capture, and it goes beyond the schools, the city councils. It goes into the medical fields. It goes into every which direction you turn. You create a feelings-based agenda. And no matter which way you turn, they're pushing that same thing. We saw it with COVID. We saw, the education system. We see it. We just need to be able to put our finger on it and say, this isn't acceptable any longer.
Yeah, you see it in the transing of the kids. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, do you see it there?
All right. Step five, divide, demoralize, and replace. And that's the stage we're really in right now. Because how many demoralized conservative voters recognize the writing on the wall? They pack up, they move to a more friendly state for their, what they believe in.
Well, and a lot of people are pulling their kids again to captured schools and no longer teaching pride in anything. And then the other thing is as long as you are living in Oregon, you are funding the very beast that is coming out against you with your tax dollars. And Oregonians are taxed worse than almost anybody else in the country.
Yeah, well, I think the most recent study on that shows that we are right there at the very top where, based on the amount of money you make versus your take home is absolutely insane how much money is disappearing to taxes, fees, and the like.
Yeah. And so what you're looking at is sort of a parasitic takeover of the everything that you work really hard for, and the parasite comes in and is going to suck the host, which is Oregon, and you dry. And then what happens when all the money runs out? They're going to flap their grody wings and fly to another state and do the same thing. You have to call these people out. They build nothing. They create nothing. They destroy and deplete. And that is exactly what's happening in Oregon. And woe to you if you notice, but I don't think there's woe anymore, because I think a lot of people are like, I don't care if you call me a name.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. People are finally starting to step up, be willing to accept a little verbal barrage, primarily online, if they're willing to, push back. But I just sit here and go, we need more of that. We need more regular, everyday citizens that are sick and tired of opening their, checking account and realizing that their money has all disappeared to wherever, what vast, place that the Democrats can create.
I know. And I don't call them Democrats anymore, by the way.
I know.
because, honestly, if you're still in that party, you either are condoning what is going on or you're really woefully uninformed and, jeez, I don't know what to tell you. But the bottom line is really, I think the blue states have been captured. And so you are kind of behind enemy lines at this point. And I know from personal anecdote, a lot of people, especially up in Washington with the new millionaires tax coming in, who are trying to get and offload properties and are having a real hard time doing it. So there's always a window for these things. And again, there are two sides on this. Stay and fight. And I see a lot of that. And God bless you. Stay and fight. Sure. Mm-hmm. But know what you're fighting for. Know what the odds are. Know the battlefield you're on. And then there's the other side of it saying the battlefield isn't there anymore. The battlefield now is in red states that the parasites, the communistic parasites are trying to capture. So there's two sides to that. Both are fine. And you have to make that choice for you and your family. But a lot of people, the time is coming when it is a time for choosing.
Yeah, I believe Washington State has gotten the signatures to get the millionaires tax on the ballot. I honestly do not see them defeating it. I truly believe that there is enough messaging out there, especially in the state of Washington, to the mass populace that millionaires are the bad guys. Yep. They're holding you down. We need to take more of their money to make your life better.
Honestly, sadly, I think you're right. When you got that messaging out there, I mean, you saw what happened. How could we, 25 years after 9/11, have Mom Donnie as mayor of New York City and all the people that he's bringing in and all the messaging? And I mean, you just watch the speeches and it's chilling. And then, of course, they vote themselves a pay raise. But people fall for it because, number one, they don't dig any deeper and it all sounds good. And if you've basically trained everybody to just go with their emotions and what feels good, of course they're going to win. And of course you're not going to defeat it, because you're right. The message is the people that produce capitalism is evil.
Yeah, well, and when you're talking a millionaire's tax, you know, us in Oregon, we see how it works. We're down to, what, 3 billionaires left in the whole state of Oregon?
Is that it now?
I believe that's it. Well, that's one of the big troubles with the whole Trailblazer situation. The richest handful of people in this state had no interest in buying it, and there was nothing left but to sell it to somebody out of state. But I just sit here and go, there's a lot of millionaires and billionaires in Washington State, and they have faces that people can look at, whether it's Bill Gates, whether it's whomever. They can literally put those messages out there to the populace that these people need to pay more. You know, Bill Gates isn't going to pay anymore. He's got so many lawyers and tax specialists making sure that he's paying as little and little as possible. Come on, let's just be honest about it. Everybody's looking for a way to not pay as much taxes as they do. They just have the money to hire the people to make that possible.
Well, and then you reach the point, I mean, the absolute fatigue when you look at how you're being taxed for this. I mean, in Portland, especially, you've got the art tax and then this tax and the breathing tax and the whatever tax. And what are you actually getting for? You can't use the parks that you pay for. You can't get in to get medical care because it's completely overrun with people who are illegally in this country in many cases. You can't get the health care you need. You can't get the services. You can't get police to come when it's some creep at the park is trying to take a 7-year-old girl and it takes half an hour. So at what point, there's going to be a point where it's just going to collapse. Yeah. It can't sustain itself.
Well, I just sit here and I go, we need the change. We need Christine Drazen to really get on the ball and make all of these points and make them so poignant that there's nothing Tina can do in rebuttal to sit here and say, no, I made this better. Because and I'm point at one thing.
Exactly. You can't. And I'm going to throw a challenge out there, too, for everybody that really is we're going through this and does want to stay and fight. Put your money where your mouth is. Donate to her campaign. Get involved with the campaign. Get out there. Magnify the messaging. Put the signs up. Don't be afraid to speak out. Go and talk. Go to town halls. Do everything you can to get this woman into the governor's mansion. It is just a start because this is systemic all the way through. It's going to take time to weed everything out. But it's a start.
And it's the start we need. You know, we could break the supermajority and things are still going to go against what we want. We can, you know, we're not going to flip the House, you know, in Oregon overnight. But by changing the governor, going a different direction at governor, we can at least give the veto power that, you know, a signature can stop some of the worst things coming down the pike.
Exactly. And keep the seats that Republicans already have. Maybe get one or two more. Why not? If there's a local race that's competitive in your area, again, donate money and time and treasure to this. It is that important. It's time for choosing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go ahead and take our last break. We are going to chat with Matt Massera on the other side, Bebold Street Ministries, and get an update from him on what's happening out there on the streets. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Cozy's New York Deli.
All righty, welcome back, everybody. Okay, welcoming to the third chair for his regular visit, Matt Massera from Bebold Street Ministries. How are you, Matt?
I'm grateful. How are you doing?
Oh, good, good. How are you doing in the heat? It's really, really hot.
Yeah, yeah, we've been just soaking it up.
Oh, yeah? Are you one of those people that really like it? It's like, I love the heat.
I prefer it, yeah.
Over, like, negative 17?
Yeah, I prefer it.
I guess it is easier to get cool than it is to warm up when it's that cold. So what are you seeing? Just on updates as far as you've been out on the, you're out on the street ministering and chatting to people. How's it? I know we have cooling centers in Salem.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people that are being, swept from, multiple different locations around the city. Mm-hmm. And that's always kind of, hot topic in reference to, what's the purpose? Why is it actually happening? What's the goal? And so there's,
can you talk a little bit about that? Yeah. How that's playing out on the streets.
Yeah. I mean, like with the ODOT properties, right? So
yeah,
a little bit different than city properties. Mm-hmm. And, so people are consistently being moved from the Center Street bridges and the bridges right there in the downtown mm-hmm. corridor. But people are also aware that the process for ODOT is much different. So they get swept and then people come right back and they know that they have, a certain amount of time that they can be there before somebody starts to come back through. And then it's like, hey, today you're going.
Okay. So what is the difference between, what's the difference between the city and the state response then versus?
Yeah, It's ODOT is much different. And okay. I know that like even Wallace, a bunch of Wallace has been being swept. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have come out, and then have transitioned into other places. But then people just kind of migrate back into the same spots. So it's, I know that it's huge money to do those cleanups. And I mean, the folks are going to go somewhere.
Right.
Yeah. And it's not necessarily like, hey, you're being swept. And then they make the decision, okay, well, I guess I'll go into a shelter now, or I guess I'll go into a program now, because yeah. there's so many dynamics in reference to that. And there's a lot of people in Salem that because of their criminal history, outside of God doing it, almost impossible for, well, he does the impossible, but it really is so difficult to get some of those folks housed because of their convictions.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're just going to be swept from one place and they're going to go to another spot where they're going to set up, what to them is their home. And so,
yeah.
So from my perspective, I see three very distinct kind of areas. You have the private property, mm-hmm. you have the public city property, and then you have ODOT state property. Mm-hmm. And all three of them handle things very differently. Mm-hmm. For a private property thing, when they clear it out, they have a lot more power to keep people from coming back in. At the city level, you clear out an encampment and you can kind of patrol that area to kind of keep people out routinely, not to, daily or anything else. So you get some, but you are less likely to get a large encampment built on a city controlled area. Versus where ODOT is, they have a statewide kind of rotation. So they'll come through, they'll clear it out, and then they know they have 3 months or more before they're going to come back.
Yep. And everybody knows that. And you laid it out really clear because people even ask me like, hey, would you do something at your own place? No, not ever. My family's there. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to let anybody. I mean, we don't. I mean, if somebody's using deadly mind-altering substances, there's no invitation to our home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because then they bring everything that they're engaged with in the illicit, deadly, always violent drug world right to our front door. Well, absolutely. I meet up with people all the time that are using these deadly substances, manufacturing, funneling them, just poisoning people. We meet up with them. They don't get the invitation to our home. Like, hey, you're a drug trafficker. Please come over and visit. It's not.
People will say, "Well, why don't you have them at your It's a gotcha moment or something." But you're clearly describing why.
Yeah, and I share with them. I'm like, no, I've had people, and I'm just going to be transparent, right? This one guy, Michael. Hey, can I sleep? Can I set up a tent in your backyard, Michael? Are you serious? I'm looking him right in the face. Michael, you're a level 3 sex offender. This is still a part of your life. You know that. So this is the transparency. This is like the encouraging mm-hmm. him to take responsibility and then me holding him accountable. Michael, you know I have children. Why are you asking to put up a tent in my backyard? You want to hurt my family. I love you. You don't never get to come to my house. And I know that God sent his son to set you free from all the sin that has destroyed your life and other people's lives by your decisions, but you don't ever get to come to my home. I'm going to protect my family, my wife yeah. and kids. You don't ever get to come over in for sure. Because then he's like, well, if I can't set up a tent, and this is just like the depraved mind on display. Mm-hmm. Do you got an extra room? Michael. I'm
wow.
Yeah. And so.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, you don't get to come to my home, and drug dealers don't get to come set up shop, none of that stuff. Like, we get to meet up with a ton of people, and our house is a house of hospitality. Mm-hmm. We'll invite people over that might not be walking with the Lord. We have people that are unsaved come over. We get to share with them. But if you are funneling, you're manufacturing methamphetamine, selling fentanyl, there's no invitation to our home. I'll meet up with you for sure, but it's not there. And no, there is not going to be an encampment set up outside my house.
Yeah. No, I mean, those are clear, very clearly articulated boundaries. It is kind of interesting that even after the no on the tent, he still kept pushing for a room. So, yeah. So with a lot of this, everyone was saying, well, it was all because of Iron Man and it's all going to come back, because we're really not getting into root causes again. We're just kind of moving the problem around.
Yeah. Well, and this is just goes back to the source, right? So people that have committed crimes, they've been incarcerated, they were convicted, they are then living out the consequences of those sins.
Yeah.
And nobody else did that to those folks. Every sin I committed was my fault. Nobody else made me do it. When I was committing all kinds of crime, I was doing it on purpose. It wasn't an accident. It was thoughtful. It was intentional, and it was willful, and it was planned. And then people that are using substances, like you're willfully using methamphetamine, fentanyl, and these other deadly substances. The consequences for using those substances is not somebody else's fault. This is these are self-inflicted consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else isn't doing that to you. The city's not doing that to you. It's just, yeah, it's. I don't know. It's a huge topic. Well, when I say I don't know, I do know.
Well, I know. We've got about a minute left with you. And we see that on other aspects of life, too, even people who are out there functioning. I mean, there's always sort of people ready to make excuses. It's a disease. It's not your fault. And that doesn't help anybody. And that's not really compassionate.
No, it's not compassionate at all. It's false compassion. So it's, you know, not holding people responsible is a huge portion of what's wrong with Oregon. And then you're culpable to it, you know. It's unloving.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's a lot of the topics that you cover on the Sunday show that we are here on Sundays at 8:30, The Hope Dealer. And then we also we do a repeat of the broadcast on the following Saturday, correct, Hunter?
Yeah. So we will have the new show will be 8:30 a.m. on Sunday. And then replay the following Saturday at 8 a.m., followed by another new show the following Sunday. So
yeah,
I've listened to the first couple episodes. I don't, there's not words to describe it. It is amazing.
Yeah. So Matt, always great to have you on Newsmakers at Noon. We appreciate the work you're doing out there. That's it for us today, everybody. We got Jeff Reynolds on the show tomorrow. So come on back tomorrow. Have a great day.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.